Chapter 4. Hunger for God. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This verse doesn't say, blessed are they who have no sin, or blessed are they who have no evil desires, or blessed are they who obey God. What it does say is that you are blessed if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you have a heart cry for God, if you're hungry for God, your outward condition is no problem for the Lord. If you're hungering after Him, you'll eventually be filled with Him, and this will take care of your outward condition. Some of God's people are under terrible condemnation because they have habits they believe God doesn't want them to have. There was a time in my life when I thought, if only I could quit smoking and quit some other things in my life, God would be pleased with me, and I would have a better relationship with Him. This is what religion teaches you. Religion says that God is a holy God, and if you want to have fellowship with Him, you must not do things He doesn't like. If this was true, no one would ever be transformed. He came to save the sinner, not the righteous. There are multitudes of people who are hungering after God, and some of them smoke and drink, and their lives are messed up. They are captivated by the world. They are in bondage to religion, and God wants to set them free, not condemn them. The only thing that is necessary is to have a hungry heart. How to cultivate a hungry heart. When I was a pastor of Springs of Life Ministries in Oregon, I used to tell the folks, we can develop a hungry heart in you if you want one. One of the most exciting things in the universe is to be able to create hunger and desire in people for God, and you can do that by words spoken through you in the Spirit of God. Words are the most powerful and creative thing in our world. Jesus said in one of His parables that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who casts seed into the ground. The seed is the word, and we are the ground the word is cast into. So, if you want to increase your hunger for God, just stay around people who are always casting forth the seed of the word of God, saints of God who know how to speak God's word in spirit and power. As you begin to hunger and thirst after God, His Spirit will begin to fill you and grow in you, and then you'll be able to come out of all the habits and bondages in your life. When you begin to hear the truth, it creates a hunger in you and puts a hope in you. When you realize that God can come alive in you, His Spirit will begin to stand up in you and deliver you from every hang-up and set you free from every bondage in your life. If you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. There are so many things in this day and age, even in the Christian world, that you can seek after and become distracted by. There's a multitude of teachers today on television and around the world who are teaching Christians to set their minds on things other than seeking after righteousness. There are teachers today who are putting fear in the hearts of God's people, drawing their attention to those things that are coming to the earth. One more time. Jesus never taught us to look at natural Jerusalem to try to figure out what is going to happen. What Jesus did say is, people's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. You get your charts and graphs out and start looking at those things and start teaching people about all the terrible things you think are coming on the earth, and you sow fear in the minds of God's people and get their attention off of seeking after righteousness. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Don't look at what's happening, look up. Colossians 3:1 from the Amplified Version says, if you then have been raised to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Don't look at what's coming on the earth, but look up. Raise your consciousness to seek those things that are above the natural thinking. Set your mind on and aim at the higher things, not on the things of the earth. You have died to the natural thinking and the carnal way of living. Your new life is hid with Christ in God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who have a burning desire to bring forth within them this life that is hid with Christ in God. The Christian must get his attention and his sight and his aim off of everything but seeking after God and His righteousness. Can you imagine what it would be like if we could get Christians around the world to take their attention off things that are happening, even in the church? Our attention, for the most part, is centered on division, strife, and debate. We argue over who has the right doctrine, which is the best church, and numerous other things. When Christians will take their eyes off all these things and set them on seeking the reality of God and His righteousness coming alive on the inside of them, we'll see the glorious church without spot or wrinkle begin to be manifested in the earth. This would fulfill Jesus' prayer in John 17 that we all would be one. If there is no oneness in Christians, it is only because they're not seeking God and His righteousness. The majority of Christians are seeking so many things, so many other things. Jesus never said, seek after God and His blessings, or seek after God and healing or prosperity. How many are seeking after God and a position in the church? It is not that these things are wrong, but what are you hungry for? What is the desire of your heart? Are you hungry for position, recognition? Are you hungry for the righteous, holy character of God to be formed in you? You may hunger after and receive many things, even things of God, and still miss the high calling of God. The only people who are truly happy are those who are hungering and thirsting after God and His righteousness. If you seek after prosperity, you may receive it and still be empty inside. When you seek after righteousness, you'll be filled with the nature and character of God, and then all things will be added to you without your seeking them. God's design, intent, and purpose is to fill you with Himself. Man's true happiness comes only if he is filled with God. Jesus promised that if you seek after God and His righteousness, you will be filled. Now let's talk about death to self life. There's been much teaching in the church on putting self to death, and for the most part, it has caused us to get into the workings of the flesh trying to put ourselves to death. Death to self is nothing you can do within yourself. Death to self is in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says that Christ was made a life-giving spirit. In this life-giving spirit is everything you need. There is the divine life, which is the fine, uplifted humanity of Jesus, His death and resurrection, His ascension and enthronement. Every time you touch the Spirit of Christ within you, these elements are transfused into you. When your self-life begins to rise up, if you'll turn to the Spirit of Christ within you, you'll sense the killing aspect to your flesh, and you'll rise above it. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness will solve the problem of self. You can't hunger and thirst after righteousness and be self-seeking at the same time. Again, self-seeking at the same time. When you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you cannot always go where you want to go, and say what you want to say, and do what you want to do, because the Spirit of God will draw you to Himself. If you're hungering and thirsting after God, you have a burning desire within you to obey God. You may not always do it. You may have character flaws, bad habits, and problems with your will, but I'm talking about an inward condition of your heart. You have a burning desire on the inside of you that Jesus would become Lord of every area of your life. If that is your desire, and you're hungering to be conformed to His image, you will be filled. From my own experience, I can assure you that this is so. There have been many times in my life when I have been under so much bondage it seemed as though God was nowhere near, but I never stopped seeking and hungering after God. I lived many years in Lancaster, California, and I would drive out into the desert every day and park my car and seek after God. I used to say, God, I must have the reality of Your presence come alive within me. Nothing else is worth living for. I must know the reality of Your kingdom within me. If You don't become Lord of every area of my life, I have nothing to live for. I had met the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I had touched the God of glory. And once that happens, nothing can satisfy you except being conformed to His image. The more you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the more you'll be transformed, day by day, into a mature Son of God. Let's talk about hungering after righteousness. We know that the doctrine of righteousness means to be in right standing with God. We know that everyone who receives the life-giving Spirit of Jesus is taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son. Those who hunger and thirst will be filled. I began to hunger after God at about the age of 11. I wanted to know God in a real way. I was raised in church, but I wasn't satisfied with the church. I wanted to know the reality of God on the inside of me. I continued to hunger after God, and it wasn't until I was 29 years old that I met the God of glory. I spent many years seeking, but He was worth waiting for. I'll never forget my first experience of the reality of God. I wept for several days in His presence. A lot of people get caught up in what I call a Christ fast food mentality. They want to be changed now. They want to be like God now. They don't want to wait on God and spend much time seeking Him. They want to be like Him, but they don't want to take the time for the transformation of the soul. They want everything now. The Word says, "In patience possess ye your souls." This is found in Luke 21:19. We must be consistent and steadfast because Jesus said, "When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." You are not going to find Jesus in Sunday morning religion. You are not going to find Him just by going to an altar and saying some words. You are not going to find Him until you hunger and thirst after Him with all your heart. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He rewards you by filling you with His nature and character, so you are transformed into what He is." Righteousness means to be in right standing with God, but it must become more than doctrine. If you're really hungering after righteousness, a doctrine will never satisfy you. I can talk to you, convince you, and show you from the Word that if you're born again, you're just as righteous before God as Jesus is. You can become intellectually convinced that Jesus is your righteousness and that there is no need for condemnation in your life. Yet if your life is not right before God, if you're not experientially becoming the righteousness of God, the doctrine of righteousness will never satisfy you. The doctrine of righteousness is to show you your position before God, to stir you up to seek the experience of righteousness in your disposition, not just your position. God speaks and you say, "Amen." He says, "Go," and you go, not trying to figure out how to get there. We read in God's Word about men like Abraham and David, and we say, "I'd like to be like those men in Hebrews 11. However, to be like these men, you have to live like they lived. Where are the Christians today who live like those men lived? The cloud is moving in the church today, and when the cloud is moving, you had better move with it. We are all baptized into the cloud. In the wilderness, the children of Israel had to move with the cloud. They had no choice. Today, we have no choice either, if we want God. We must move with the cloud. Today, God is setting His men in the church, pastors after His own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. They're moving in the anointing, under the authority and the Word of God. We need to move with them. We need more leaders in the church who can say, 'Follow me as I follow Christ.' If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, there'll come a day when you can say that. A doctrine will never satisfy you. You must have the experience of righteousness. You may have many habits and areas in your life that are not pleasing to God, but if you'll seek Him, you'll experience complete deliverance from all bondage. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you will also have a burning desire to be free from sin. If you're in sin and it doesn't bother you, I feel sorry for you. If you don't want to hear about holiness and righteousness, and you don't want to hear about God's character being formed in you, you really need to seek God until His reality begins to arise within you. There is still hope for you, but you should take the time to seek God daily until He stirs within you. Everyone who hungers after righteousness wants a character that conforms to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7. God takes us just as we are. We have nothing to give Him, but He takes that nothing and transforms us into the image of His Son. Jesus once again comes alive on the earth and ministers and strengthens and builds up the church. If you think you are something in yourself, you are nothing. If you think you could do a better job leading the people of God, I feel sorry for you. God takes those who are weak, who feel they have nothing in themselves, and He gives them His strength and ability. God wants to fill you with Himself. If you really hunger after and want the life of God to be manifested in you, you need to study the life of Jesus. Look at this man Jesus. He is the tabernacle of God. He is the fullness of the Godhead. All things were made by him, through him, and unto him. You were created for his pleasure. What is his pleasure? He wants to fill you with himself. He wants to fill your desire for righteousness and holiness. He wants to fill your desire for a right relationship with him. Jesus is not someone whom we try to be like. He wants to fill us with the Godhead so that we become what he is. When he enters you with his life-giving spirit and you seek him, you will become like him. God wants a group of people who realize their hopelessness in trying to be like him and then seek him until he begins to do in them what he wants to do. There's a very simple way to know the perfect will of God for your life. God's will is the same for every person. He wants to completely fill you with himself. Many pray sincerely to know the will of God, thinking that he may want to send them to Africa or any number of places. If you'll take the time to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll fill you with his spirit, and then you will know his perfect will for your life. To hunger after righteousness means that you put everything that you are into what you are seeking. People do this in the natural all the time. People put everything that they have, all of their time, all of their finances, all of their study, into what they want to become. We will do the same if we hunger and thirst after God. We'll want more than anything else to see God's kingdom manifested on the earth. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 records these words, "As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." We must condition our souls to seek after God. We must learn how to release that flow of life, the life of God within us, to flow into our souls so that our souls will hunger after God. Psalm 84, 1 and 2 says, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God." Our heart and our flesh does not cry out for sin and the lust of the flesh, but for God. This will be our experience if we exercise ourselves to hunger and thirst after God. If you never become hungry and thirsty after God and his righteousness, you'll never know true spiritual blessing. You may know good health, prosperity, and a certain amount of peace, but if you never become one who seeks after God with all your heart, you'll not know true spiritual blessing. Let's talk about receiving abundance of grace. We all know that it's impossible with our carnal or natural nature to become what this Word of God is requiring us to be like. However, if you are not like this, it is not God's fault. People say, "I would like to be holy, but if God doesn't do it, it's not my fault." Paul says in Romans 5:17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus." Have you received the abundance of grace? Notice it does not say that they which are given abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, but those who receive it. God is no respecter of persons. God does not give to some and withhold from others. You must receive that which has been given. This is the gospel of grace. Before you experience being born of the Spirit, you are in bondage to sin and death. You can't be righteous, you can't be holy, and you have no power to change. God says that to live in his presence, you must be holy. There is no sin and no injustice that can live in his presence. He demands that you be holy as he is holy. This is where grace comes in. Everyone who will receive grace, who will take the word of God and receive it unto themselves, mixing faith with his word, will begin to reign in life. If by one man's offense death reigned, much more the gift of grace is more powerful than the law of sin and death. God has already poured out all of his grace. In his word is all the knowledge that you need to make you realize that all you need to do is open yourself to receive all that he is. Grace takes all the trying out of becoming a Christian. If you're still trying to be righteous, you have missed the simplicity of the good news. If you are truly a Christian and Jesus is alive in you, he will live his life in you. Either you are born of God or you are not. Either you are still lost or you are found. Either you are perishing or you are receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Let's talk about how to receive this grace. You may say, I have tried all my life to be a righteous person and failed. What am I to do? It is so simple that most don't see it. You simply need to receive it. What you are today is a product of what you have been receiving all your life. What you receive into your heart, you will become. Man cannot, by himself or by his carnal nature, produce the life of God, but he can receive it. If you're not manifesting God's character, then you have been receiving the wrong things into you. If you're receiving the things of God, then the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are being produced in you. If you're living this way, you don't have to conform to an outward law of rules and regulations. You hunger and thirst after God, and these things grow in you. Let's talk about learning to eat Jesus. Learning to eat Jesus will be the most profitable thing you will ever do in your spiritual life. Jesus said in John 6, I am the living bread that came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and never die. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me shall live by me. We can learn to feed on Jesus moment by moment in our daily life, and as we do, his life will grow in us and we'll begin to live by that life. You'll express whatever you receive into you. When you're around some people, all they express is sports. They constantly take sports into themselves. They eat, drink, think, and breathe sports. You can always tell where a person's heart is by hearing them speak for a while. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you are filling yourself with will come out of your mouth when you speak. Whenever I'm around the saints from the church, you can't talk to them very long before the Lord starts to be expressed through them. You can tell they are filling themselves with spiritual food because that is always the main topic of their conversation. Whenever we get together, even a few of us in our homes, the presence of the Lord is so sweet. If you want to receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, that is what you must do. You must learn to avoid everything that would hinder his life from flowing in you. I know that this is not an easy word, but Jesus never told his disciples that to be a Christian would be an easy life. The Christian life is only hard for you as long as you hold on to your own ways and your own desires. Proverbs says it is the way of the transgressor that is hard. I've said many times how hard it is to be a Christian because I was at that time a transgressor holding on to my own way. If you're truly hungering after righteousness, you will avoid everything that is against righteousness. You must also avoid receiving into you those things that hinder your spiritual appetite. Many Christians don't hunger after righteousness because they are a product of what they have been receiving all their life. They have never been diligent to cultivate a spiritual hunger. Even in the natural, we can develop a taste for things we do not like by being diligent to eat them. If you don't have a hunger for righteousness, you must learn to discipline yourself to take in spiritual food. The gospel of grace is not a gospel that allows you to remain in any unsatisfactory condition that you're in. When you experience grace, it will cause you to hunger after righteousness and will lead you out of bondage. Let's talk about cultivating spiritual hunger. You need to cultivate your spiritual hunger. Sometimes you need to drop even things that are not sinful, but which take away time from seeking God. You can receive unto you all the fullness of God by spending time in His Word and in His presence. Many Christians spend more time reading the newspaper or any number of other things than reading and studying God's Word. They can't understand why they are not hungry for the things of God. It is our choice. We can receive and develop spiritual hunger, or we can receive and develop natural fleshly desires. God has provided everything that we need to grow up into Him in all things. Our natural selfish life must fall into the ground and die. Every day of our lives we must seek after and receive spiritual nourishment. I know people who are so hungry for God that all they do is listen to tapes, read spiritual books, and go to church every time the doors are open, provided they find a good one. Sometimes they listen to the same message again and again so they can grasp the truth. That is hungering after righteousness. If you're hungering after righteousness, you'll want to be where the anointing is. You'll not want to run from the light, you'll run towards the light. Sunday morning religion is not enough. You'll want to be with the saints every time they come together. If the presence and anointing of God abides upon a people when they come together, you need to be there every time. If you can't find a church where the presence and anointing of God abide, then you need to meet with some saints in your homes where you can fellowship together in His presence. I received the following word while meditating on feasting on Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door of your consciousness and knock. And if you will open to me, I'll come in and feast with you, and drink with you, and you with me. I long to enter into my garden, into sweet communion with you every day. You may not always sense my presence within you, but I say to you, I am there, deeply hidden within your being. I will bring you more fully into an understanding of my light and revelation knowledge, and my spirit that I have placed within you. You will more and more experience as you seek me the fullness of joy that is in my presence. By learning to feast on me, you will be able to enter my presence any time. You will be able to turn aside from the cares of this life. And with simple childlike faith, you will be able to call on me and discover that just to call on my name, Jesus, is like ointment poured forth. Just the name of Jesus upon your lips will cause the oil of the Holy Spirit to begin to flow within you. Just to say, O Jesus, I need you. O Jesus, I need your touch. O Jesus, I need the sense of your Spirit stirring on the inside of me. This will bring you more revelation knowledge and spiritual experience than some of the most profound teaching you could ever hear. I answer the cry of a hungry heart. I don't look at your outward condition. I look way beyond the faults. I look deep into your being, and I see the seed of my life. And I speak to that life and water and nurture, one more time. And I speak to that life and water and nourish that seed. And I bring forth within you the glorious, magnificent life that I am. I cultivate inside you my incorruptible, indestructible seed. I bring forth a life within you that will not know defeat or failure. If you'll learn to lay at my feet, you'll come to know me in such a wonderful way. You can only give back to me that which I bring forth within you. You can only love me when you experience my love flowing inside you. If only you lay aside all that you are and cry out to me, you'll discover that I am that I am. I am within you, everything you need at every moment of the day. Forget the natural strength. Learn to turn to me and cry unto me with all your heart. And you shall know that I am the Deliverer. Your deliverance shall come, not from without, but from within. I shall arise within you and become your life. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful. In Matthew 5:7, we find these words, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." These teachings of Jesus in the so-called Beatitudes are systematic. They follow an order. You could never be a merciful person unless you have already experienced being poor in spirit. Every day, we must empty ourselves and seek God for something fresh. We must realize the areas in our life that are lacking God's character. The more you experience His life, the more you hunger after Him. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. After I experienced God's life coming alive in me, I began to mourn over my wretched condition. Jesus comes and fills that longing of your heart, and one day you awaken, and you realize that God in you is sufficient, and that causes you to be a meek person. You begin to hunger and thirst after God and His righteousness, and only then can you be a merciful person. We should always examine ourselves in the light of Jesus. If you are ever to be a merciful person, You must realize that everything you have obtained in God is an act of His divine grace. Everything you have experienced in God is a result of two things. 1. God giving His grace, and 2. You receiving that grace. No man can work for what God has to give. He can only receive it. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "They, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Don't look at others and compare yourself to them. When we do that, we can easily see what is wrong with them and compare ourselves not with their strengths, but with their weaknesses. One who is merciful doesn't compare himself to another person. He will only compare himself to Jesus. No amount of comparing yourself to another can justify you before God. You can never be like the Pharisee in the temple who prayed, "Thank God I am not like this publican." One who is merciful will always have the attitude of, "God be merciful to me." The kingdom is based on who you are. The gospel of the kingdom is not based on what you do, but it is based on who you are. If you truly want to do the works of Jesus, if we want to experience what it is to be one who moves with the anointing and the authority of God, we must first be saturated and permeated with God. We must take the time to soak up the presence of God in our daily life. Don't get caught up in outward religious activities. It's not a matter of working, but of being. One who walks in the realization of the kingdom does basically two things. They learn how to contact God within themselves, and then become filled with Him. When you are filled with God, you become a carrier of His presence on the earth. I used to get so upset when I heard about obedience and holiness because I tried for years to be holy and obedient and couldn't make it. However, today I realize that I am a holy person. Why? Because holiness is wherever God is. If God is in you, you are a holy person. And when your eyes are unveiled to see this, you'll experience it. All you need is to learn to enjoy that living anointing and presence of God that abides inside you. The message of the gospel is not what you can do for God, but who you are. The Bible was written to reveal to you who you are in Christ. The Bible tells us who we are. But because of veiled minds and religious teachings, you may find that your mind will not accept the simple revelation that Jesus lives in you. We must diligently seek God until we come into the experiential knowledge of Jesus. Jesus arising on the inside of us. Whenever you get into the presence of God, something stirs on the inside of you, and you begin to realize it's not what you can do, but what you become when filled with the realization of His presence. Once you realize who you are, then what you do will be an outflowing of His life. Your work for God will not have the stench of human nature on it, but it will be a pure flowing out of God's life. You have to be a Christian before you can act like one. To be a Christian means to be like Christ. Our churches are full of people trying to be Christians. I had God on the inside of me for many years, and I was always trying to be a good Christian because I didn't have a revelation of His life inside me. I had a doctrine that told me Jesus lived in me. I was told that when I received Jesus, He came into me. But I didn't have the revelation of Him rising within me to live His life instead of mine. Christ died not only to save me from my sins, but to become a life-giving spirit, to live inside of me, instead of me. There are multitudes in churches trying to become something they already are. They have the life of God on the inside of them, but they don't experience it. Matthew 5:7 is not presenting a new religion with rules and regulations, nor is it presenting a higher standard for us to try to live up to. Jesus is very simply saying here, if you are a Christian, if I live in you, this is what you'll be like. Every time you come into my presence, I will expose you. All the darkness, all the rebellion, everything in you that is not pleasing to me, I will expose, and then you'll have to fall at my feet and receive my forgiveness. So many people have not learned to receive God's forgiveness. They try so hard to be good, and they have such a poor image of themselves because they're not making it. You will never have a good image of yourself by trying to be good. Self must fall into the ground and die, and Jesus must arise within us. When Jesus Christ begins to stir within you, it doesn't matter how poor your self-image is. You just fall at His feet and receive forgiveness. If you're in bondage and sin, don't run away from God. If you don't find Christ's character coming forth in you, don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Drop all your religious activities. Forget all your religiosity and just seek Him. He will begin to stir on the inside of you, and you will become that which you desire. The only true Christian is Jesus. Human effort will never make it. You can never feel good enough, unless you're comparing yourself among others, to give you a self-righteousness. Jesus is the only one who can live the Christian life. And until He is birthed in you, you will never live the Christian life. You may as well forget your activities. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Multitudes of Christians are busy working for God when all the time what they need is to have Him formed within them. Doctrine alone will not satisfy. Jesus never said we need to try to act like Him. We read the Bible with the natural mind and become confused and go try to do what it says. Jesus wants to reveal Himself within you, to reveal your new character. His seed of life is inside you, and when you're willing to seek Him and lay down your life, He'll come alive in you and live instead of you. The greatest doctrine and teaching in the world will never satisfy you. Why is this? You must possess the realization. You can be taught for years that Jesus lives in you and never experience it. You must spend time in His presence, seeking Him until He begins to grow within you. To be a Christian is to possess a certain character and be a certain kind of person. Christians need to realize that they already are what they are trying to become, and rest in Christ until He grows within them. We find these words in 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The word life here is the Greek word zoe, and it means God's life. The word godliness means the expression of that life. If you have received Jesus, God has already given to you all things that pertain to that life and the expression of it. Everywhere you go, you can be conscious of carrying the presence of God and expressing His life. In the Old Testament, the priests carried the ark on their shoulders. In the ark was the expression of God. We can be conscious of carrying around the awesomeness of the presence of God. That's what a priest does in his daily life. We become kings and priests unto God, carrying His presence and His authority in the earth. This is the highest revelation you can have in the kingdom of God. The two most important functions in the church are the priest and king. Most of God's people think there are only five offices in the church: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Not everyone is called to one of these offices, but all are called as priests and kings. The highest calling you can have is the priesthood and kingship. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are to equip you and to build you up and to cause you to realize your high calling as priest and king. We find these words written in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. If you really want to be something in the kingdom of God, Then allow his presence to fill you, so you are a carrier of his life in the earth. We can't all be apostles and prophets. We can't all be leaders in the move of God on the earth. But we can all be carriers of his presence. Let's talk about God's authority. The most exciting life you'll ever experience is to live in the presence and anointing of God. His abiding presence will bring you into his authority. God's authority is not for you to use on someone else. A man who imposes authority over someone else does not have true spiritual authority. When God begins to rise in you, his authority first and foremost is to bring you into subjection to himself in all things. We must first subdue our carnal nature. We must first take the beam out of our own eye. We must first deal with the sin in our life. Then, wherever we go, people will say, "What is so different with this person?" When he walked into our home, a sweet presence and peace came in with him. We are a holy people. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Peter tells us here, not what we should try to become, but who we are. You are a holy people. Oh, how we need to seek God until we get the revelation, "I am a holy person. I am sanctified, set apart for God." According to Hebrews 7:26, Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. This Jesus is who lives inside us. We have the holy, righteous God on the inside of us. The realization that Jesus is in us will stop all the struggles and the strivings to be like him. When you begin to realize his presence in you, you can't help but be a holy person. I am a holy person because I have a new nature on the inside of me. For years I tried to make myself holy by my actions. I was just like the Apostle Paul said of the Jews. He said they missed the righteousness of God by going about trying to establish their own righteousness. The revelation of having God inside you will make you what you are trying to become. And you'll never have the revelation unless you seek God with all your heart. It's so hard today to get most Christians to seek after God. They'll go to church, serve on committees, teach Sunday school, and do many other things, but they'll not take time to sit quietly and seek after God himself. Jesus didn't have to try to be righteous. In John 14:30, he said, "The devil comes and he finds nothing in me." We all can grow in God until we too can say, "The devil may come, but he finds no place in me." Ephesians 4:27 says, "Give no place to the devil." This experience will come out of your hungering and thirsting after God. You'll not have the natural strength to give the devil no place. You must have God's strength. You must have a revelation that you are a temple that carries the holy nature and character of God. How could Satan have any authority over one who realizes that? John 1:12 tells us that as many as received him, he gave the power, the authority, the ability, the right, and the privilege to become the sons of God. If you have been born of the Spirit, your heart's cry is, "Oh, to be like Jesus." God's word will reveal and unveil to you the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is why the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. In us is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do we really believe this word of God? This is a great problem in the church today. We have a lot of unbelieving believers. Do you believe you have the resurrected power of Jesus living inside you? We have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, now living inside us. There are Christians who have read the Bible for years and have not experienced and do not know that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in the believer. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, what a marvelous experience to be filled with God, so He lives His life in and through us. A Christian is one who has God living inside them. We talk about being Spirit-filled. One who is truly Spirit-filled is controlled and motivated by the Holy Spirit. A doctrine of being Spirit-filled will never satisfy you. I was told as a new Christian that all I had to do to be filled with the Spirit was to speak in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is a wonderful experience, but it's only the beginning. I know many people who have received tongues, and they certainly are not filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Again, I must say that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not full of bitterness, resentment, and anxiety. He is very gentle, meek. He is a holy person. If you'll spend time in His presence seeking Him, His character will be reproduced in you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul said, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We must continue to seek God until everything of the old creation does not affect us anymore. The old creation, including the world, sin, self, and the devil, were all terminated at the cross. Self-life is very deceptive. In fact, there is no such thing as a self-governed person. You are either governed by and receive your life from Satan the serpent, represented by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is living by a knowledge of good and evil, or you are governed by and receive your life from God. He is represented by the tree of life. When you are born again, you receive a new life source and your nature is changed. For this reason, you can never be happy again serving sin, because you have a new nature. This is why we must seek God until His life fills us and completely transform our soul so that it expresses Him. The life that we live is simply an expression of what is on the inside of us. If you're expressing a life that is sometimes good and sometimes evil, then you know that you are still living, at least in some measure, by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you can be full of love today, and yet tomorrow be expressing bitterness, anger, anxieties, and hatred, then you must realize that you are what you express. There are so many who will love you until you disagree with them, and then all their love turns to resentment. In self-pity, they think, Lord, how can they do that to me? But how did Jesus respond on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. What is in you, you will express. Jesus said, Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus expressed mercy at the cross. Mercy is compassion with a desire to relieve pain and suffering. Mercy does not carry any ifs with it. If you treat me right, or if you don't wrong me. True mercy is full of compassion and a deep longing desire to help and to relieve suffering, even the suffering of someone who is wrongfully using you. Let's talk about mercy and truth. God is merciful, but He is also just and full of truth. God will not be merciful at the expense of truth and justice, or at the expense of His righteous nature. There are some Christians who feel it is permissible to have sin and bondages in their lives because God is merciful, and He understands that we are weak and just human. The truth is, when you call out to Jesus, He comes into you, and you are in covenant with Him, and there is no way out. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians that they were sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Once the seed of God is activated on the inside of you, God is under contract to that seed to bring it into maturity. If you don't understand right from the very beginning that your will must be brought into submission to His divine will, you may go through a lot of suffering. God will bring to maturity in you that which He began. He is the author and finisher of our faith. That is mercy, but not at the expense of truth. God in His mercy will put the rod of correction on you. Once you belong to God, He will never leave you alone. The Holy Spirit is sometimes lovingly called the Hound of Heaven. He'll never leave you alone until you surrender to Him. He does this not by force, but by drawing you again and again by His love. Learn to react in love. If you're truly a merciful person, you'll react in love when someone wrongfully uses you. When someone wrongs you and you express the life of the serpent in bitterness, wrath, and judgment, you do not yet know the mercy of God. Only God has the right to judge, and His judgment is always for purification, never for condemnation. The judgments, the fire of God, the tribulation, is always for the purification of His seed in you. When someone does you wrong, they are in your power. Jesus said to His disciples in John 20, verse 23, "Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained, and whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven." So when a person wrongs you, how you react toward that one will depend upon what kind of character has been formed in you. If you have the character of God, you will be merciful and say, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they are doing." No one who wrongs one of God's anointed understands what they are doing, or they wouldn't do it. If you really see yourself in the light of God and His holiness, you will realize that no man can have that holy character formed in him if he has not had a revelation of God's life and ability inside him. Even Christians who wrong you do not understand what they are doing. They do not yet have an understanding of the forgiveness of God. If you really have an understanding of the forgiveness of God, nothing can keep you under condemnation, and you will not condemn or take vengeance on another. As a child of God, you can never get to a point in your life where forgiveness is no longer available. God's forgiveness is unlimited, and when you realize that, it will bring you out of your bondage. Every time you miss God, every time you fail, you can run to the arms of your Heavenly Father for forgiveness. When you learn God's forgiveness for yourself, then you'll be able to forgive others. In Matthew 18:21, Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me?" How many times must we put up with the same person doing us wrong time after time and still forgive them? I know what God's Word says, but how many times do I have to take this? Jesus then told a parable about the servant who owed 10,000 talents. This parable is a picture of us. There is no way we could ever pay the debt we owe God. We blow it every day of our lives. There is nothing we could do to pay the debt of sin in our lives. Jesus lived the example of a man filled with God and went to the cross and paid the debt for all of our sin. There is no debt in your life that is too big for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse. And He cleanses you so you can stand in God's presence holy, unblemished, and undefiled. God has forgiven the insurmountable debt of all your sin. That's mercy. That's God's character. That's why He could forgive men who nailed Him to a cross. God expresses what is on the inside of Him: love, mercy, and compassion. Now, when we have someone do wrong to us, how should we react? That is what this parable is all about. If you don't forgive those who wrong you, then Matthew 18:32-35 tells us the result. "Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you, from your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." The character of the Christian is one who forgives just as Jesus forgave. Anyone who has been exposed to their carnal nature realizes that in that nature they stand condemned before God. When we call out to God, He forgives everything we ever did or will do, and then asks us to do likewise to our fellow man. Jesus said, if we won't forgive, then we'll be turned over to the tormentors. There will be circumstances raised up in your life to make you realize your total wretchedness. If you judge and condemn another, you may find yourself doing the same thing, or even worse. This is why Jesus admonished us in Matthew 7:1, judge not, that you be not judged. If you have problems in your life with unforgiveness and resentment, you need to seek Him, and His character will wash all that out. When we truly experience God's forgiveness, there will no longer be any pride in us. There will be nothing in us that will be vindictive towards another. There will be no insisting on our own way. In God's kingdom, you don't always get your own way, if you're submissive to the Spirit of God. In these messages, God is presenting us with the truth. For years, some have been claiming to be Christians, saying, Jesus lives in me. Some have had the doctrine of righteousness and holiness, but without much reality. It's time that we seek God until the things of the Spirit are made a reality in our lives. It's time to let God take all our knowledge and let Him build it into us, so He can raise up His corporate expression on the earth, the glorious church, without spot or wrinkle.